are.
Hello and welcome to episode 348 of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host Jeff with my man Ron. What's up, Ron?
What's happening?
Oh, you sound so lovely.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Sweet.
New setup. Got a new mic.
New gear.
Old headphones, but yeah, it's weird. Now I hear myself like through my head.
It's funny. As soon as you said that, like I know it's recording fine, but the internet died for a second, so like I didn't hear you. But I know it's recorded, so I'm not going to stress about it.
You were frozen. Yeah,
I was. Okay, yeah. You were too. But yeah. We're good now. I think the local audio and video is captured, so I'm not going to worry about it. And we're going to press on. If I need to, I can always fill the live video so we wouldn't see each other, but we'd hear each other. So
sure.
That's always an option, but it's running
fine. That would be fun.
Yeah, I know. So what's going on? What's up in your world?
Not much, man. Just, I don't know, I guess the only thing of note in the last, 2 weeks since I joined you, I went to the Formula D, like, final round in Irwindale last Saturday, and it was wet and wild, literally. Like, it was it amazes me to even attempt to drift on a banked oval in the rain. But, it was at the same time, it was super dramatic and also very uninteresting and not entertaining, like, you know, from run to run. You didn't know what to expect, like, in the rain, like, they're, you know, they might as well be on ice. You know, there's no smoke and the cars are just so I don't want to say fragile, but I mean they are somewhat fragile too, like, you know, a couple guys wrecked out, you know, at lower speeds, and you know, it really changed the course of the championship chase, and it was wild to be there. It was a good time, but like I said, the racing, like, or the competition was all over the place.
Are you watching Mannequin? What
what is that? Are you talking about what's on the TV?
Yes.
No, it's Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. Okay. Yeah. So one actor who was also in Mannequin, and right, Weekend at Bernie's. Sorry, it distracted me for a minute.
Oh my god, I can't. I have to find Mannequin. I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Nice. Osbo was the series winner, correct?
Osbo ended up winning the championship. Yeah, he came in 11 points or 14 points down, and they started the round of 16, 11 points down to Matt Field, and unfortunately, Matt wrecked out in the round of 16 and wasn't able to get his car back together in time, so he forfeited that round, and Freddie ended up having the perfect weekend, actually, because he qualified number one, he won the event, and he sealed the championship in the same day. So
that's a hell of a weekend. Yeah. Sucks for Field. Field runs the Corvette, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, C6.
It's like wide body. So it was probably just a standard C6, but yeah, he runs number 777. So we actually sponsored him a couple of years ago. So I've been a fan for a long time. But you know, still wish him the best. And he would have been the first FD champion to not win an event, to not win a round in that season. But yeah, man, unfortunately, fell apart.
So just all podium finishes, no first places?
Pretty much, yeah. Just, you know, consistency. Wow. Yeah, without having to win an event. I mean, he was hoping to take the win at Irwindale, obviously.
But, sure.
You know, if he had just gone rounds, I think if he had just finished ahead of Frederick, then he would have sealed the championship.
Huh, that's crazy. Changing up a little bit, I want to jump into a little bit of news that you'll know all about, because I think it's one of the craziest builds I've heard of in a while. Hoonigan's IndyCar engined Ridge Line.
Yeah.
This one kind of came out of nowhere, at least for me. Normally, you know, I might have an inkling of some stuff those guys are doing. I'm sure it was on your radar earlier than the internet knew about it. This is crazy. Why don't you share what you know about it, what you can say? Because I'm sure you know more than
me. Sure, and that's like kind of difficult because I don't know where they're at in the series. I will start watching the series, but I don't know.
The video I watched today is literally them just stripping the truck down.
Okay.
So yeah, that's about as far as they've gotten.
Okay. Well, yeah, basically that project is with Honda Performance Development. And I don't know. Sorry. I don't know who initiated the idea or like how the proposal went down, but basically Honda gave them a Ridgeline, like a 2017 Ridgeline, and an IndyCar motor and transmission, and basically gave them like reign of like their Honda and Acura, both racing and street performance catalogs. Just like, just let us know what you need, and you know what, like everything you need that we can supply, you have free reign. And you know, they're building an Indy powered mid engine. I think it's technically mid-engine, but Indy-powered Ridgeline. It's the silliest thing. I mean, I've been seeing it for months, and every time I go in there, like I ask Soupy, and I'm just like, "You gonna fire it up today? You gonna fire it up? Let's go start this thing. I want to hear it." And you know, I did that for months with the Donk that they built, the Hellcat Rolls Royce. You know, it's just my thing. I always harass Soupy. But the funny thing is that Hoonigan can't even start that thing. It takes like a Honda race team engineer in order to come in and actually program it and set the parameters and do everything that needs to start the motor. So they'll basically have to be supervised. I think it's actually the smartest way to get Hoonigan to build a car is to not allow them to start or drive it without your
that's wild, your man. It's so
this
is a 2022 engine. Mm-hmm. So it's a fresh engine.
2.2 liter twin turbo V6. Revved at 12,000 RPM. Like, I have no idea what kind of torque it makes. They say like it's, horsepower is like between 750 and 950 or something like that.
It's probably not even that much torque.
Yeah, I'm imagining it's like 400 pounds feet of torque, if that. You know,
and it usually moves a vehicle that weighs 1,600 pounds.
Right.
So the big thing they're doing is, in so far they've shown, is cutting as much weight down off the truck as they can, and then it's not just putting the engine in. The engine with the transaxle, it's a stress member.
Right.
So it's
it has part of the chassis of of the IndyCar. So now they've got to build bodywork and chassis structure around that and incorporate it as a stress member, which is just wild. It's
wild because my favorite build in recent years was Ryan Turk's Judd V10.
Yeah.
So brilliant. Perfect engine for that car because it pays homage to both, you know, Toyota's F1 history, BMW, and Judd Motors. There's history there too. Mm-hmm. So such an awesome, awesome build with such a ridiculous, if you know anything about motorsports, Judd engines are just incredible. So that was cool. But it's an engine, and they put it in, and, you know, they just had to make it. I mean, obviously they did more than make engine mounts and stuff. The fabrication on that build was just world class, wild fabrication. I forget his fabricator's name, but Dom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible work. This is more than that. When I saw this, I think first on maybe Ron Zaris's Instagram, I was like, dude, I sent him a message. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I was like, you got to put this in, like, it'd be so sick to do this in the rattiest EK Civic or this, right, or like just a super sleeper Accord.
Right.
He's like, we looked at all those ideas, but because of the transaxle, the way it sits, it had to be the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So sick.
So well, but yeah, that thing is supposed to debut at SEMA. I can't really give away too much as far as its of level course. Of completion right now, but just like
it's a SEMA build.
So many SEMA builds and projects I've seen over the years, it's going to come down to the very last minute. I can tell you that we did test fit the wheels today. I wasn't a part of that. I'm on the email, so I know there's been a lot of back and forth about what's even possible, because it's like it's the weirdest front to rear combination ever. Like basically, if we're trying to use like a monoblock style wheel, like we do on the Acura DPI cars, the Daytona prototype and IMSA. That was a consideration, but it's fucking impossible. You would basically, to get the front spacing that's required for the rear, like the hubs are so far inboard, and this thing has like a wide body kit. I've never even seen what it's supposed to look like as a finished product. Like, I've never seen the rendering. That's one thing they're highly protective of. But to get the right offset or front spacing, you basically have to turn the wheel around. Like, that's, it's just so wild. So I'm curious to see what the wheel and tire package looks like, because it's center lock in the rear and the front is five lug from a current NSX. So it's like the hubs and the lugs are mismatching front to rear. So I think they came up with a pretty cool, pretty unique solution to kind of tie that together aesthetically. But I'll be interested to see, just like the rest of the world, what the finished product looks like.
Yeah. It's so amazing. I was thinking about sending a note to one of the dudes over there and being like, yo, I need to just come eyeball this just so I can take a peek at this damn thing.
Let's go.
Which I still might do.
Tell me when. I'll
maybe next week. Maybe next week. So that thing's sick. If you haven't seen that, go check that out.
I still
out.
Don't know it's what the use case is for, though, because every single person I talk to says it's for something different. Some say it's going to be a pace truck. Some say it's going to be a race truck. Some say it's just going to, like, go out and, like, you know, for ride-alongs, like, before any car races. Like, you know, I still don't know, but I just can't wait to see it come to fruition.
It feels like a showpiece that, yeah, you take VIPs in around a track. And yeah, for
but,
sure.
But they also eliminated the rear seats, so you can only take one VIP at a time. Like,
okay,
whatever. No offense, I'd rather ride in the two-seater tandem Indy car with Mario Andretti than
an original. I've heard, because, you know, they run a few of those on the track at once when they do that, and all the other drivers are like, I guess, you know, 8-10s or whatever, and they're like, Mario thinks we're still racing. So if you get a obviously you want to ride with Mario just to ride with Mario, but you're getting the full experience too, from what I've heard. Now, I just saw your watch on screen. Very nice piece there, Mr. Big Time and me.
Whatever.
So that you got from, what's his Instagram handle?
Oh, yeah, I forget.
J2RS.
DRS? Fuck, sorry. Yeah, JD2RS? Does that make sense?
I'll put it on the screen when I edit. Sure. But he shot Formula Drift for us at Hooniverse. Mm-hmm. And then that reminds me that another friend of the show, Kevin Clark, was recently in town and dropped off some beer, which is what I'm drinking some of the beer he sent right now. And I have your alcohol that I need to get to you.
I totally blew that. Apologies to Kevin. Much appreciated. Kevin is super cool, and he came down here on a road trip. He was going to bring his supercharged, I think it's big block, maybe it's small block, but supercharged Mercedes gasser, but broke the crank like literally at the start of his road trip. So he ended up still driving down. I think he was hanging out with friends, and he came to our Kinesis event at Hoonigan, and I had to leave. I was left in a hurry, so we were going to see Morris Day and the Time.
So, oh snap!
Yeah, so I had to go. Like, but I forgot to grab that stuff and to, like, you know, say goodbye and thank you to him. So, apologies, Kevin. I was in no shape to meet up the next day. He was just like, "Yeah, we'll just meet up Sunday." And I was like, "Yeah, that's gonna happen." It did not. So, many thanks and many apologies to Kevin for being so generous and hospitable.
Yes, and apologies on my part. I was in Mexico on vacation, and then so he was kind enough to mail us beer and alcohol, which
that's
is
super cool.
What heroes do. So thank you, sir.
Totally.
And I really want to see that Mercedes anyways.
Yeah,
I followed that build for a while. It's so cool. I will link that also either in the description or somewhere for you to see it if you haven't seen it. Like Ron said, it's a gasser Benz with a hood scoop way out. It's so good. It is so good. I can finally talk about Lemons.
Yeah.
So Lemons was a good weekend.
I didn't listen to the solo show yet. What the fuck did
I
you
didn't
talk
about
last
then.
Week?
I saved it. Nope, I saved it. Okay. The solo show, I just answered questions.
Okay.
And I was going to do it from my hotel room, but there was, as soon as I landed.
Tornado, right?
Yeah, and I lost power twice. Like, to get to dinner, I had to first walk down 6 flights of stairs over to another elevator that was still working to go up, back up, like 17 stories or some
shit.
I don't know. Yeah, it was or 8 stories. I don't remember.
But then the weather was fine. Taking the stairs. If one elevator's down, I would have just taken the stairs. You're bolder than me.
After that, the weather was totally fine. But I was in no mood to record anymore at that point. So I recorded when I got home, and I just did questions, and it's out. So I saved Lemons. It was the typical. It's the typical deal. This one was funnier though, because we came into this one with the most potent version of the straight six we've had. Hottest cam. Everything was running well. So well on Friday that we took advantage of the fact that Button Willow has a dyno, and we dynoed it to see what it would do.
Yeah,
and so we were guessing certain numbers, and at the wheels, it was doing 140 horse and 175 torque, which was way more than we would have thought.
Hell yeah.
Which is great for that engine. And then we had one of our rookie drivers go out and just do some practice laps, and fucking shit started to go south from there. So apparently we started, let's see, I have it up. So temps would hold fine at idle, but any load temps would start to go up. We also roasted the rod bearings, which meant more failure was about to happen. Like, this engine was about to eat itself.
Damn.
But instead of waiting for that to happen, we stayed ahead of it. We actually had a second engine this time. Not as aggressive, but we had to strip the one engine out again, put the new engine in.
Did you swap heads then, and cam, or just was that?
Well, first we swapped engine. No, no, we didn't do cam and all that shit. Yeah. We just went just engine. We're like, we'd rather just have a regular, less powerful engine just running.
That thing was sitting aside, like complete, like to the valve covers, carburetor, all that shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So we put that one in, but that engine previously had blown a head gasket, but we put it on. And it was running, and it was sitting, and it was idling fine. And then if you put any load into it, temps would go up. So we're like, fuck, maybe the head is slightly warped or something's not right. So we dumped some of this like head gasket sealer in there, tried to do that. We jumped Blue Devil gasket sealer into the cooling system, which worked for a bit. But then it like started to like mess up the cooling system.
Right.
The car was like, I took it out on track. This is now it's race day on Saturday. I took it out on the track for a little bit and like temps were rising. It started to touch almost 240.
Damn.
If I backed off, I could keep it in 230, but you can't drive it just backing off on a racetrack. So pulled the car in and now we took the head off the previously better engine, mm-hmm. swapped it onto the other engine, cleaned out the cooling system, flushed it all out, and from there we ran really well. The only problem was at that point we think there might be an issue in the fuel tank where maybe the fuel pickup moved because it should have had plenty of fuel, but you would get down and it has a Holley Sniper on it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a point where it starts running really lean, mm-hmm. like it's not getting fuel. So like air fuel mixture when you're just cruising is around 12, because you can see this in real time as I'm driving it. And then all of a sudden at certain points it would jump to like 35 and then like the things would struggle and blah, blah, blah. So it was getting really tough to drive. So we just went in and said, fuck this. We're not going to be able to like pull the fuel tank out, fix the fuel pickup, do all this shit. Let's fill the tank. And then as soon as the issue returns, drive it for how long you can. And then we'll get all the drivers to the car. We'll put more fuel in. We're not hustling through pit stops at this point. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to win. We're just trying to get a full drive it. So some of our drivers were going, and since I drove the day before, I'm like, I'll go last. Like, you guys get in the car.
How many drivers did you have?
And this time we had 1, 2, 3, 4. We had a fifth, but he decided to not drive just based on all the issues of the car, which, you know what? I get it. I mean, it's a scary thing to strap yourself into. And then the guy who owns the car, Tim, was just doing crew chiefing this weekend. He was never going to drive. So we technically had 4 people who drove. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So it went through the thing. This person would come on the radio like, yeah, it's struggling. I'm going to bring it in. All right, next driver's ready. Let's fuel change. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do last stint. And everybody was doing like 30, 40-minute stints. And it came around to me. And they're like, if you can stay in the car, stay in the car. And I did over 2 hours.
No shit.
I did over 2 hours. It was – I was like sore at the end of it. I was sweating. I was fighting. I was fighting the air fuel issue. But I could drive it. I figured out that if I could flatten out some of the corners by like not like as aggressively apexing, sure. I could ease off some of the fuel starvation, and it was more right hand corners because on lefts I could hammer.
Got it.
So I could kind of work my way through. It was annoying at times where I'd have to just be waving people by because I'd come out of a corner if it was a right. And if it was a tight right, I'd be like, fuck, all right. And then like whatever was sloshing around back there would like fill the pickup.
Right.
And whoop, all, your air fuel's back. And I was like, God, it was frustrating. But to do an over 2 hour stint was cool to see what that was like.
Sure.
Came in under the checkered flag, drove the car onto the trailer, all that good shit. So
nice,
typical left. Typical lemons. I camped in the Montero with the GoFast. Mm-hmm. Super comfortable. It was great. I only had to get up a few times in the middle of the night to piss, mm-hmm. but it was good. Someone said they had this idea where I should run a tube into like a Gatorade bottle with a funnel and just go in that. I'm like, yo, it sounds silly. That's not a bad idea.
Totally. Repurpose a vacuum hose. Trust me. I just did that to fill my bathtub last week because somehow I had hot water only in my sink, not in my shower. I've been.
Oh.
So, you know, I moved like a month ago or so.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to take a bath, and you know how important my baths are to me. So, like,
yes, yes.
The bathtub leaked.
To cut you off. Mm-hmm. Ron and I both like baths. I don't have a bathtub, but when I was in Mexico, our hotel room had a sick bathtub. I took a picture to send to Ron
because we both love bathtubs. Like, I need to go on vacation. I can't even bath at home right now. But yeah, dude, I totally filled the fucking bathtub with. I cleaned out my vacuum hose, the Flexi vacuum hose, like. Cleaned that out, disinfected it, and ran hot water from the sink to the bathtub. It took almost an hour to fill up, but it was totally fucking worth it. Like, I'd had a long day. I don't remember what it was, but it was just like they finally fixed the leak, but I still didn't have hot water. So I was just like, I'm taking a fucking bath. Like, there's nothing stopping me. I fucking scoured the house for something. I was just like, I need this like silicone tube. Where am I going to find this?
Oh,
vacuum.
That's fantastic. Random note while I'm thinking about it. That is a total change of gears here. Autopia 2099 Winter Edition. December 4th at the Peterson.
Hell yeah.
We're already getting tremendous interest from some amazing vehicles. It's going to be a bigger, better show than Northern California just because LA is where the car culture is at. And it's at the Peterson. So, I mean, you got to come. You got to get out there. Tickets are live on the Eventbrite. We got to update the website. Let me know if you're a listener of the show and you want to go, hit me up, Jeff at Hooniverse. And if you're not showing a car, I could probably help you out on discounted tickets, even though they're $5, but still hit me up, let me know. And then another note, our first Hooniverse podcast specific t-shirt is out with a vintage Alpine logo.
Fuck yeah.
I think that runs for a week or two, I think 2 weeks, and then we'll see how well it's sold, but interest seems good, though I can't tell until after. I think one t-shirt will do well and then it sells like six, and I think another t-shirt won't do shit and then it sells like 20,
right?
Which actually for us is probably a lot, so
it's the same for the wheel world, my friend.
I'm
the
sure.
Shit that I'm just like, this is a banger, we're gonna sell the shit out of these. It's like discontinued after 6 months.
Now speaking of wheels,
yeah,
my wife just got I just got new tires for the CX-5 because Michelin is like, hey, we have these new Defender 2s. Anything you need them for? I'm like, well, definitely not the Montero, not the Jag. I was like, we can update the tires on the CX-5. And I was thinking, before I put them on, should I put wheels on? Should I put wheels on the CX-5?
Will your wife even notice? Is she like the type of person where like
she wouldn't notice as long as they weren't like goofy as fuck?
Right.
She wouldn't notice. I mean, I would tell her. I would just do it, but she wouldn't really care. The reason I would is because it'd be fun. It would add some style to the ride.
Sure.
The reason I wouldn't is because who gives a shit on that car?
Right.
So I keep going back and forth. But on the other side, I was just because I'm an idiot. I was looking up. BF Goodrich has their R series tires, their race tires. So there's like the KR2, the KR3. Those are race only, non-DOT tires. What do you have, like something going on out there? What is that?
It's so weird through these headphones. Like it sounds like it could be coming from anywhere, but it was just a tractor trailer going by. I don't know how loud it was for you, but like it was.
It sounded like so they make. I was looking at it. They make a Baja TA KR2 in a 30x9.5 R15. So my truck has 16s on it right now.
Yes.
What's that?
So you need some new wheels.
Well, can you get the STLs in different sizes?
Forged, yeah. But I think the cast, like, and forged would be basically be built to order, like super expensive. I'm not even sure about lead times right now, but I think we only offer it in 17, 18, and 20 inch, the cast version. Okay.
That makes sense. Cause I didn't think you would have a 15. But
I mean,
it would look dumb. Dude,
the fact that we made that wheel is still, and it sells is just beyond me. So I don't know. I would look at KMC or Black Rhino.
I don't know if I could do Black Rhino.
What?
It's not my jam.
What do you mean?
That's not really my aesthetic.
How would you classify it? I'm curious because I have no skin in the game. I'm just I'm curious what
to... it's like a step better than what's the one I hate that you guys also sell? It's always on like the fucking star cap in the middle.
XD.
Yeah, I hate those. I hate those wheels. Sorry, but, you didn't design.
No, but I'm curious, like what, it's a wide range of styles within each of those brands. XD is kind of like
okay.
flashy, definitely not off-roader. That's like fucking
not off-roader.
That's like
maybe I need to take a closer look.
That's Brodozer style, but Black Rhino. Yeah. I don't feel like I think is much more catered to like the. I would say it should be right up your alley aesthetically. I would think it's you
it
know
is,
it's an
overlander,
like. Centric,
it's closer, right? But it's more like it's definitely overlander, but it feels like it's bigger truck overlander, like power wagons.
Okay.
And also I'd have to have like Blue Life Matter stickers on my car and shit like that. Not to reveal myself too politically, which I already do anyway, but I'd be actually shocked if they made a 15 anyway. Usually the lowest anybody goes anymore is a 17, with the exception for like Miata wheels.
Right.
You know?
I mean, that is kind of the standard 17s.
Yeah. Even though I have 16s right now in the truck,
that's so
but
random.
I don't even know if 15, 52 does 16s anymore.
Yeah, that's so random.
Right. Okay. Autopia we covered. That we covered. I think... Unless you have updates with your fleet,
nah.
We can move to some questions. Nah.
Just like no news is good news as far as I'm concerned.
No news is good. Yeah. All right. Questions on Twitter first. Damascada asks, why hasn't somebody developed an online used car sale payment system that protects the buyer and seller? Talking to a lot of people, they've all said they've had more bad than good experiences. I was scammed, but didn't fall for it. In the end, I met the buyer at the bank. I mean... Isn't that why they say cash is king?
Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here? You're talking about escrow? Like you're getting burned because the transmission burns up, like, you know, on your drive
That's
home.
That's different.
Like what?
Yeah. Because this says payments.
Right. Like, I don't see what protection we need. Like every deal that I've done has either been wire the money to my account and I'll transfer the title. You know, after that clears a couple days, or we meet and if you want to pay me cash, cool. I'm going to deposit that in my bank. If you want to give me a cashier's check, that's even better. I'm going to deposit that in the bank. I'm going to wait a couple of days. Like, I guess that's why this mythical system you speak of doesn't exist, because it's actually really easy to verify cash. And like, you know, you're not 9 times out of 10, even if you're financing, like, you know, there's going to be a bank check. There's going to be some, you know, some credible and verified form of payment.
Yeah. I mean, if you get scammed on the mechanical side of it, that's unrelated to the monetary right. side of it. And that sucks. That happens.
For sure.
So, you know, you do what you do and you move on, but, I don't have a good answer for that one. If anybody's going to get scammed by a car, it's going to be me. That dude, Pasha, asked realistic next steps on the Benzo, rims for the Mazda, and then he says, Ron, any new looming purchases? Checking Manheim and CarMax stats looks like used car prices are dropping as inventory goes up. I do believe that. I'll start with the Benz. I don't have any next steps. I think I've mentioned there's an engine, and that's where we're at. Rims for the Mazda we just talked about, and Ron, any looming purchases?
I want to sell. Before I buy,
yeah,
I want to sell the K10, which requires some effort. And now that things are cooling off, and you've been to the shitbox speakeasy, you know how hot that motherfucker gets. So now that it's cooling off, I'm actually motivated to go over there and knock some stuff out and get that thing ready to sell. I also am seriously considering selling the S7 because I do see used car prices plummeting, maybe not plummeting, but definitely dipping. And I think I can pull a little bit of equity out of that car right now. And I've enjoyed it and I love fucking driving it. But like I got a fucking rock chip in the windshield a couple weeks ago. Somebody either backed into it or fucking kicked the rear bumper. So now I got to deal with that. And it's like, if I'm going to deal with this shit, like the fixing, repairing, upgrading, like I'd rather it be on something that's a lot less costly and nice. So I don't know, like the kick that I'm on recently is I've got a buddy that is considering selling his, I think it's a 96 840.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that I'm really looking at, and I feel like these are still kind of under the radar of collectors, even though some are crazy expensive, is the R129 SL, but specifically the last year, the 2002, the Silver Arrow edition. They had really cool, like, engine turn dash and like two-tone leather interior, and they have this crazy metallic silver paint that they also had factory two-piece 18-inch wheels. Like, they were like high spec. Like, they were like really head and shoulders above the rest of the SLs as far as like the factory finishes and interior.
It's funny though, you're not an SL guy.
I'm absolutely an SL guy. I've loved those cars since they were
given
new.
One. You were given one and you said no.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Or was that Anthony? Was Anthony given one?
Yeah, that was Anthony, not me. Yeah. No.
Oh, shit.
I don't like the generation previous to that, whatever that shit is, like the fucking
107s.
Yeah. I was never a fan of those. My grandfather loved those and he wanted one so bad and I was like, "Dude, get the new shit. This fuck that."
Okay.
But the R129, like, I've always loved that, and I remember the first Silver Arrow that I ever like encountered. I was working at the car wash, like, or maybe no, I was a valet then, and one came in. I was just blown away by how cool the interior was, and like the paint popped. And the best part, and the reason why I have to have it, is because it plays into my 777 theme. Because the paint code for that car is actually 777. So I'm
no
like,
way is it
got to do it. Like,
damn, that's meant to be.
So
I think you can pick. I mean, minus the Silver Arrow,
I've seen
you
them,
can pick.
Yeah,
them
I mean, those cars, like, clean condition, like under 100,000 miles, like you can find one for 10 to 20 all day, depending on like
all
the options.
Long.
The Silver Arrows I've seen from lately, there's one, buy it now on eBay for 12 grand. There's another one that's 50K, but it's like low miles. And I don't necessarily need collector spec. Like, I'm not trying to retire off this car. I want to drive it. Like, I want to clean.
That'd be fun.
And like, I want to know that it's had service and maintenance done. And, you know,
that'd be a fun jump from the Audi.
Yeah. I would, you know, then also have the Mustang, have the Lincoln. You know, I feel like the SL, like, I don't drive to work that much anymore, like maybe 2-3 days a week. So it's like I average 11 miles per gallon on the Audi. So like, it's not really a concern for me. It sucks. It sucks filling up. Oh. But like, you know, I've never had a like miserly car that I've never averaged better than 13, 15 miles per gallon in my life. So it's just, you know, par for the course. But I think that would be fun to, you know, slam it on wheels, do exhaust, and that's it. Like, just cruise that shit.
On the way to Lemons, I stopped at a random gas station to fill up the Montero and also stop for ice for one of the coolers. $7.39 a gallon.
Fucking insane, dude. This shit is crazy. And I've seen as high as $9 a gallon in certain places. It's fucking outrageous.
It was $140 to fill the Montero.
Fucking outrageous, dude. How many gallons?
That's a big
thing. I don't do math.
It was wild. I don't even know if we paid that much for the gas at the track. no, we did. We definitely did. Silver Arrow. I think that's a dope way to go. Lindbergh, amazing photographer and great off-roader. He asks, why does BMW have the worst designers of all the car brands now? Not wrong.
Not at all. That is fucking accurate and factual. I don't understand it. Like, this is way worse than the Chris Bangle era. Like, the XM, like the
Bangle era has aged nicely.
I don't agree with that, but this is way worse.
This makes it look better.
I mean, the thing about those cars was they were also super unreliable outside of warranty. So, like, you know,
they were trash for
like
that.
Like, E65, E63, like, those cars, like, are impossibly expensive to maintain. But they're also ugly on top of it. So, I don't think those will ever see a resurgence in, like, you know, collector status. But, I don't know, man. These cars, these new cars, the new 7 Series, the new XM, like, all this shit with, like, the slit.
Garbage.
Like, DRLs and, like, hidden headlights. Oof. Like, it's just, dude, like, ugh. Like, they've got these massive blocky front ends, and they're making up all that acreage that they gave up with the tiny headlights with grills and the M2. Oof. Like, all of this shit is just fucking trash as far as I'm concerned. Like,
the M2... is the least offensive of the new BMWs.
You're only saying that because it has flares.
The flares are sick.
That's all that
everybody cares about. The profile is good.
Yeah, like E30 M3 style.
As soon as you see any, as soon as you see any angle of it, you're like,
yeah.
Oh man, Lindberg, you're not wrong, buddy. And yeah, I don't know. Peter Holderith at underscore bald tires. Why are the Celestic haters wrong, and where can they deposit their opinions? I agree with you. I think the Cadillac Celestic looks fucking incredible. Are waiting to chime in.
I don't know, man. It's bustle back. It's like they took design inspiration from like the 78 Seville, you know, that had that fucking weird, yes, like fucking bustle back and the fake fucking Continental kit. I don't know, dude. Like, it's a sedan, but a hatchback, and it's sized like an SUV. The fucking thing has 23-inch wheels and tires. So, I mean, it's massive. Big. And it looks to me like the interior is cramped. Like, everyone has their, like, own little personal space, like a, like, seemingly like a first-class cabin. So I'm sure it's luxurious. I'm sure the materials are there. I'm sure, you know, it's GM's, like,
38-speaker studio reference sound system.
Like, that speaks to me. I'm with that shit. You know, I'm a lifelong Cadillac fan. My grandfather had something like 23 Cadillacs in his lifetime. Like, I, like, my family's Jesus never Christ. Not had a Cadillac, right? Yeah. And I, dude, I'm just underwhelmed.
I don't think blue was the right color.
Yeah, I'm just.
I don't think blue was the right color.
Underwhelmed styling wise, like, it's fine. It's not offensive like BMWs, but it's just, it's also not elegant and classy like a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, which is what they're trying to compete with. You know, like, there is no, there's about to be, but there isn't currently a $300,000 electric car, right? Like, Rolls just introduced the, what is it, the Spectre? Basically, Spectre. Like, the electric Ghost replacement.
Kind of, I mean, like, it's that. And then also, not Ghost, there is a version of Wraith. The Lucid that's 250.
Okay.
But it's like one it's a special right. version. But yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I just feel like
I want to see one like outside during the day.
Did you go to the launch?
In the light. No. Wasn't even invited, actually. Yeah, I want to see one. I don't know. I want to see one outside during the day in like normal light, not stage
right.
lights.
Right.
So far, I'm impressed. Do I think it's insane? 100%. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Starts north of $300,000.
And apparently everyone is like bespoke design and material
yes,
selection.
They're all made to order. They're hand built.
So GM's not really building it. It's just like a Ford GT where like Multimatic or Celine or somebody else actually.
It says hand built in Detroit.
Sure. But it's going to be by like a Coachworks, like somebody that like one of these companies that actually builds like concept cars and shit for the OEs. Yeah. It's not going to be, if it's not production line, it's not UAW, it's not GM.
Right. Though it is Ultium platform. So there is that part of it.
Okay.
I'm not impressed with the actual EV specs of it in terms of charging speed, but the horsepower numbers are good.
What is it? I have no idea.
600 horse, 640 torque, all-wheel drive. And then they say it will go from 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds, which is probably actually amazing because I bet it weighs a fuck ton.
I mean, it kind of hides its mass and its size with those 23-inch wheels. Like, when you look at it through that lens and you're just like, okay, those are 23s. Those are bigger than anything that anybody's put on like a production SUV. I mean, like Range Rover now offers factory 23s. Like,
I think the GMC Hummer.
I think they're coming with 24s actually, but
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, but that's insane. You have a sedan, a passenger car with factory 23-inch wheels.
Yeah, that is. And the windshield has more rake than the C8 Corvette, read.
It's just super dramatic. I don't know. It seems almost like Great Gatsby, like Roaring Twenties, like inspired.
Yeah.
So there's something.
But maybe
there.
Cadillac needs
Yeah, there's
some
something
of that.
There. Maybe but Cadillac needs I just some think that. That overall, like, it's that rear three quarter, like whatever's going on with like the tail and the end of the greenhouse just doesn't work for me. It doesn't. It's like it's hatchback styling. Like, it just doesn't resonate luxury to me.
What if they took that shape, scaled it down a tiny bit, and reworked it just enough so it became like the Celestic V wagon?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Right? Right? All right. Team Radar Love at Midnight Drifto. After a lovely weekend with a Chevy SS, I think my sweet spot for new daily is 1, capable of hauling dogs, 2, GT capable but won't embarrass itself on a back road, and 3, the kicker would be interesting enough to keep for 10 plus years. What else do I test drive? Oof, a Macan?
Yeah.
It's kind of it's Q5. Crazy that that's the answer for a lot of things.
Which Q5.
One? Yeah, SQ5 yeah. too, if you want a little more juice. Trying to, you know what I'm in right now? That's really good. The GV60.
Oh yeah.
The Genesis. Mm-hmm. I'm in the performance one, so it makes like 429
no shit.
Horse.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And it has an overboost function for 10 seconds for like 488
nice. Horse. Dude, I like those things. I love Hyundai Genesis styling these days. Like that shit rips.
They're crushing it. Crushing it. This one is the thing that's crazy, and I tweeted about this. It has, if you can drive it without a key, you can walk up, it'll scan your eyes and unlock for you, and then you can go in and do a fingerprint and turn it on. Yeah. But it does not have wireless Apple CarPlay. So, yeah. Which is fucking ridiculous. But yeah, it's honestly, unfortunately, Midnight Drifto. A lot of the hot crossovers are like kind of hit all the questions you just asked. So if you could get a Macan or like a Macan T or GTS, Macan GTS fucking rips. Bill Rocha at Bill Rocha. Shopping for wheels for my incoming GR Corolla. Do you guys have any thoughts? And Lindbergh replied, Vogue T37s, which isn't wrong. But what do you think?
We're actually working on, thanks to the Civic Type R, thanks to GR Corolla, like all these, you know, new generation of hot hatches and compacts. We're actually working on some stuff in our Motegi line to cater to that crowd. Keep weight down, keep costs down, but, you know, reminiscent of, you know, and we're not going to copy T37s. Like that needs to live in its own space, and like it's been copied to death, but... No, I think we're coming with some cool new stuff for the new sport compact cars and Japanese like hot hatches and stuff. So, yeah, Motegi. I mean, we're probably 6, 8, 10 months away from seeing the actual production stuff, but that would be my recommendation. If you're asking me.
I still like and if my Benz is ever on the road, I'm still considering, I like the MR141s, I think is the model for the Motegis. There's some cool Motegis. Absolutely. And then Untitled Car Show said, hi, I got the wife of Lincoln Motor Company Corsair Grand Touring. That's the question. So congratulations. James Gilboy asked, should denim upholstery come back? I'm actually shocked that like Ram hasn't done it on a concept.
Dude,
truck.
I've considered that for some of my own like project cars. Like, I think that would be super sick. Like it was like, I think it was AMC, maybe the Gremlin that had like Levi's edition or something. And it had,
I believe,
denim,
so,
or like actual Acer. Denim seating surfaces. And I think that'd be sick. Like you don't have to worry about your jeans staining your leather then, you know, it's like, but I like
that's
denim,
true.
You know, as a material, as a texture, like I think it could be cool with the right car, but yeah, it's gotta be something super Americana and nostalgic.
It has to be American.
Mustang, Jeep, Ram.
Boring Cars at Boring _ Cars. What's the best car food? Interpret as you like. And a lot of people chimed in on this one, but someone had a great response that a corn dog is because it's like a hot dog with a handle. It doesn't really leave a mess. I don't know. I'm not against someone eating in my car as long as the food, like with my daughter, as long as it's not like ice cream or something
trippy.
Like droppable. She can eat in the car. It's fine. It's not like I have these like super nice cars. I also understand why people don't let people eat in their cars as well. But what do you think is the best car food?
Honestly, In-N-Out, double. And I'll tell you exactly how I ordered mine. I've only ever ordered it this way. And I had one today. So
nice.
But this is how you have to order. Double. So number one, pickles and spread only. And I take some of the pickles out because they put too many goddamn pickles on them. But I have to have the pickles. No onion, none of that other. No tomato, no lettuce. Fuck that shit. It's not a salad. It's a hamburger. And cheese fries. And when they ask you if you're going to be eating in the car, I always say no. And I just ask them for a box with a lid. So I don't take the fucking paper. because I don't like to eat while I'm driving, but I'll go park somewhere. Like today I parked at the marina in Long Beach and just like watched boats and boat people do boat things and ate my burger and my cheese fries. And cheese fries, like the best part of that is that the cheese like congeals on top. I don't love French fries. Like I try not to eat a ton of French fries, but like you can just grab like a handful and like they don't fall. So you're not getting fucking French fries all in between your seats and all over the car and, you know, all the salt and all that shit. Like they just, they're stuck together. So you can take a whole like handful and stuff in your mouth, not have to worry about cleaning up afterwards. You eat over the empty box lid. So that like it catches all your, you know, drippings and runoff and shit. And then you put the lid back on the box, throw that shit away, and there's no evidence. That's how you do it.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the In-N-Out style because I love In-N-Out too. And the past weekend or 2 weekends ago at the racetrack, I didn't have like salt and pepper and stuff because I was in charge of the food and I brought burgers to make and I'm cooking on camping stoves and cast iron and blah, blah, blah. It's like, shit. Someone said, well, you have mustard. Why don't you just season it with mustard like an In-N-Out burger? I was like, fuck yes. And it tasted delicious. So there you go. There you go. That's an answer for you. Patrick Palladino at Paladin_Auto. 2014 TS Wagon versus 2014 RDX for sleeping in outdoorsy shit road trips.
TX Wagon? What?
TSX Wagon. Versus RDX, same year. I think the Wagon will be the better. Well, RDX actually drives really well for what it is. For all I know, they're on the same fucking platform. I don't know. That's really a toss up. Like if you're going to hit fire roads, get the RDX. And if you're not going to get fire roads, switch.
Okay. Yeah. No, sorry. Reading a text. No. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Got it. That's why, cause all I can see was your thumb. Yeah. So you were swiping for the text. Ah, that's hilarious. If you're going to hit fire roads, RDX, if you're not Wagon, I think as simple as that.
I totally trust your opinion. I have no insight opinion.
This handle is called 1999 Subaru Forester, and their ad is at punkcan42629. What does it mean if people offload broken Subarus onto me regularly and I still try to fix every one? It means you're a dreamer who loves head gaskets or hates them. At Tom Cruise, TAWM, asks, is there a God? You don't want to ask me. depending on what answer you want. So, Ron's just going to shake his head. Bert Chalmers, you know the old saying, people look like their pets. Is that true of cars? Big chonky people beget big chonky motherfucking trucks, skinny sports types and ratty outbacks. I don't think so. I don't think it doesn't apply to cars because you get these like tiny dudes hopping out of giant fucking trucks. And then you get these fat fucks hopping out of sports cars. So no, it's almost the opposite. Yeah,
you're squeezing yourself into your Lamborghini and like falling out of it. It's the only way you can get in and out. Then, we know why you bought that car. It's not, it's a hopeful extension of your personality, not an actual one.
Yes. I think we only have two Instagram questions, but I'm hopping over there. Where the fuck is it? Okay. Come on, pop up, bitch. There we go. Ultramotive, what's with new EVs on new platforms not having frunks? I actually think it's weird when an electric vehicle doesn't have a frunk because it's just, how can you reduce storage? On an older platform that wasn't designed for it, I get it. But if it's a new platform designed for EVs, you can hide all the shit you need to hide. And then, you know, having front trunk storage and rear storage is just a huge selling point.
Like, I think that's the coolest thing about the F-150 Lightning over the standard F-150. I'm just like, I have that storage plus the bed. Like, you know, I don't have to leave shit in sight in my back seat. You know, I can put it in the frunk and not worry about it. And I think, like, some of them, like, I think even the Rivian, like, it's it can be used as a cooler. There's even, like, a drain plug. So you can fucking fill that shit with ice.
Ford, too.
Yeah.
The Ford, and the Mach-E can even do the same thing. Yeah. Speaking of the Lightning, I was recently on Good Day LA during the OC Auto Show. They interviewed me for like four segments for the morning show with the local reporter. And the first thing, the reason I say that is not to brag.
I don't know where we're going with this, but
we started with the Lightning. Yeah. So that's where I'm going. And we started with the Frunk Open, and we talked about that shit. Speaking of new stuff for the LA Auto Show, I'll be doing a bunch of the satellite media tours on as a face for Auto Trader. So I might be on various local news outlets across the country. November 17th. I have to be there at like 3:30 in the morning. Like I'm done at 9:30 a.m.
Jesus Christ.
So that's a day. Next question. Evan J. Cruz. Is the Volvo 240 a cheap alternative to an 80s Benz? Quirky, slow, but charming. Yes and no.
It's safe.
It's from the same era. There are some similar shapes, but the Benz is a much more substantial car. 100%. Not to take away from the Volvo, because the Volvo is good at being a Volvo. The Benz, 80s Benzes, hell yeah.
Yeah, there was no cost cutting in the engineering and interior design and materials and the Mercedes of the era, and you definitely can't say the same thing about the Volvos. Like, I basically grew up with a 240 or in a 240 because my best friend, his mom had one, and then she got like whatever the turbo wagon was, like after that, 760, is that the same thing? I don't know. I don't remember that car fondly. Like, oh man, this is like the fun car to ride in. Like, I remember when she got the turbo wagon and seeing the turbo boost gauge, like when she'd get in the throttle and watching that turbo boost gauge, that was like my favorite thing. And like that car felt like a proper luxury car. I thought that shit was cool as fuck. And they drove that thing for like 15 years. But the 240 is just like, that was an appliance. Like, I think they had a Civic at the same time. And it was like a CVCC, not even a Civic. And they were just like commuter cars. Like, that was, there was nothing cool about it.
Both of them will run forever, though. A Volvo 240 potentially might even outlive the Benz. Because the Benz will live forever, and the Volvo will survive the nuclear apocalypse. What are the motors? Like, the blue top motors or the big motors for those? I forget. But like, you could pour snow in the gas tank and it'd be like, oh sweet, I'm home, and fucking
cockroaches so to the automotive world.
The Benz, you could and I don't mean that disparagingly at all. And the people who support and mod them, it's a hell of a community. There's a strong community. But when you sit in it, it's like the difference today, where like you're talking to someone who has a Tesla Model S. They're like, oh, how do you like my luxury car? Dude, what? Yeah. No, go sit in an actual S-Class. Like, or even the EQS, which on the outside doesn't look great. On the inside is an S-Class. That's really the difference, is the smoothness of engines and powertrains, the refined vehicle. The Volvos are run forever tanks of machines that you could literally just blast through snowbanks and be like, ha ha ha, and the car's fine. Whereas the Benz is, it's a fucking hell of a product, buddy.
Bro.
I'm getting my Boston accent ready because I got to fly to Boston. I got to fly to Boston tomorrow, so I'm getting my Boston accent ready. Yeah. It's not for happy reasons, but we're not upset. My grandmother passed away, but she was in her 90s, lived a good life. So my brother's flying in too, and he's meeting me. He's like, yo, which is churro? Like, dude, like, my brother does well.
Dodge
and
Demon.
He's like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And he settled on a G-Wagon. I'm like, wow, you're picking me up at the airport. And he's like, yeah. He's looking at like Caymans. I'm like, we're going to a funeral, not the club. Like, what are you doing? He's like, maybe I'll go to both. I'm like, all right.
Oh, man, I want to hang out with your brother.
Yeah, he's a maniac. You would have a blast. But yeah, so that's why I was getting my Boston accent.
Right? Got it. Sorry for this circumstance.
I don't know how Irish.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Man. Yeah, of course. Appreciate it. I don't know if it's going to be a full-on Irish funeral, because I've been to one of those. Man, I have, like, as I've gotten older, I have a personal rule where, like, I don't like shots.
I'm with you.
So I don't take shots.
Yeah.
I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I say no. At this funeral, it's my best friend's dad who passed away, and this is a couple years ago, and his mom was like, "Yeah, fireball."
God.
Like, nah, nah. And I paused. I'm like, "No, I gotta do it tonight." Like, so we're doing fireball tonight, and like, so that was a hell of a, like, when they talk about Irish funerals, that.
Oof. Yeah, but when did fireball become part of the Irish tradition?
It's just liquor. It doesn't matter what it is.
Give me some fucking Jameson, at least.
But then I woke up the next morning and was like, oh my God. Like, fucking hell. I think I had to catch the flight the next day, too. And it was like, oh, going back east. But I got that lounge tomorrow. And I may have stepped up to the better.
Okay. Get it.
Yeah, because my brother was peer pressuring me because he's a fucking asshole. But yeah, so that's why I'm getting the Boston accent ready. And I wanted to get this podcast done and out of the way because today is also
The
anniversary. we were going to go to dinner this weekend. My wife made reservations at a restaurant that I fucking love and we haven't been to in years. And I don't actually know if she's even ever been there. Which now she's going with our neighbor. they're going to have a lovely time.
Are you going to make up for it tonight, or are you just packing and
what's
drinking?
That? No, because my flight's a red eye tomorrow, so I have plenty of time. Tonight we'll just have opened one of the good bottles of wine. I actually got us a bottle of champagne from the winery at which we were married. So
get it, dude. Yeah,
do that. Yep. But that's all I have this week. We will follow up and see you guys next week. Go buy the t-shirts while it's still available. blipship.com/hooniverse. Do all that good stuff and share and like the podcast and blah, blah, blah. Thanks for listening. We love you.